You're on Team Human, Conscious Intervention in the Machine. Here's a sneak peek at this week's bonus content, a discussion I had in around 1992 with Dennis McKenna, the ethnopharmacologist and brother of the dearly departed psychedelic warrior Terence McKenna. Dennis was the brother who actually experienced the famous psychedelic experience that the brothers had at La Carrera that Terence wrote about in his book True Hallucinations. He's a fascinating thinker, enough of a scientist, though, to have walked back some of his thinking on psychedelics to conform with what he knows about the way molecules actually work. You can hear the whole conversation as well as all of our Team Human bonus content by becoming a patron of the show and subscribing to our Team Human team feed.
This sort of gets back to the first thing that we mentioned, the very fact that we're here and that we are what we are, and that is an extremely unlikely eventuality. Mm-hmm. You know, the fact that you can create a prebiotic situation where you get a certain proportion of methane gas and ammonia and all that, and you start putting lightning bolts through it and UV light, and the next thing you know, these things are forming amino acids, which are spontaneously linking up into protein-like molecules, which are organizing themselves into enclosed membranes. I mean, none of this is life yet. It hasn't reached that point. It's just the nature of matter. Apparently, the nature of matter that given favorable circumstances, it will start to bootstrap itself mm-hmm. up this way. And this is really what's amazing to me. So it's like, I mean, one of the criticisms that's been leveled at drugs is the idea that, well, they're just drugs. It's just matter we're talking about here. There's nothing profound about it, mm-hmm. to which I've always said, if matter is capable of doing that, then matter is a much more interesting can of worms than anyone ever suspected. I mean, I don't think that degrades it to say that it's mere matter. What it says is that there's a whole lot about mere matter that we don't understand.
Right.
And what its properties are and what its capabilities are, we have no idea. But it's done pretty good so far. Yeah. I mean, it's produced this biosphere, which is highly unlikely, these thinking conscious organisms, which are even more unlikely.
And further, and the unknown about matter than, and even to you, someone who studied this particular field as much as probably it could be studied, the amount of time you've had to do it, unknown still is why psychedelics and certain plants have potentiated the universe's ability to see itself.
Right. Why should they be there at all? Right.
And how do they work to do that?
And how do they work to do that? Right. I mean, we know, for instance, that, plants make a vast variety of secondary chemicals, which have served various functions to mediate their relationships in the environment with other organisms, usually either to, keep them away, right, to repel them or to attract them for some various reasons. And then you get certain classes of chemicals which, they evolved in plants long before there were nervous systems to interact with, but once those nervous systems were there, they started, they're not just simple, repellent chemicals or attractant chemicals. They seem to bear some ontological message to the nervous systems that essentially the biosphere had to evolve before they could even get the message.
And perhaps you might even suggest
if the molecules are the keys and the receptors are the locks that the keys fit into, the keys are far older than the locks that they go into.
You don't think it's possible that those keys actually developed us into what we are to be able to receive them? In other words, that, some little monkey eats a mushroom and develops.
No, it's something like that. It's something like that. That, these keys somehow triggered the evolution from what started out as very primitive receptors, you know, to very complex receptors. And receptors primarily arrayed on the outside of on the surfaces of organisms to receive incoming messages from the outside, right? Light, changes in pH, this kind of thing, somehow in the process of becoming more complex, became involuted and became, you know, began to mediate their own internal messages, internal receptor mediated systems, and developed, you know, this, like the cortical organization and this kind of thing, you know, and yet these molecules from the outside can still interface with those. But when they start interfacing with these internalized receptors, which maintain the internal homeostasis, they start transmitting, if you will, messages of a very different sort. Not the messages are really in the keys. The keys are, you know, it's all in your head.
Yeah, I mean, to me, what I would say is that they're perhaps that these chemicals evolved an octave, maybe an exact octave before the ones in our brains evolved.
Right.
So that they're able to meet, and then just naturally, because we're meeting something an octave before us, we get a sense of the octave nature.
Yeah, or as you say, on the next turn of the spiral.
Right.
Somehow they can trigger this involution that leads to this enormous efflorescence of complexity that goes on. I mean, I don't know if any of this also touches on another theme or a metaphor that I like that makes sense, having to do with, you know, this business of is order inherent in the universe. And I've always liked the idea that consciousness, you can think of consciousness as a field phenomenon in the sense that gravity is a field phenomenon. In the sense that with gravity, it's not really a field phenomenon. Gravity is a distortion of space-time.
Exactly.
Right? That occurs in the vicinity of large aggregations of mass.
Mm-hmm.
Right? In other words, a black hole is an enormous aggregation of mass in a certain critical radius, and the fabric of space-time in the vicinity of a black hole is so distorted that it's essentially completely wrapped around itself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe consciousness is a similar kind of thing. It's a distortion of, I don't know if space-time is the word, but the distortion of the fabric of being somehow in the vicinity of large aggregations of order. And that, you know, when you get around extremely complex systems, and it can, I think you could argue that the human brain is probably the most complex system going, it's like being in the vicinity of a black hole in the sense that you feel this the effect of this distortion of reality, and that's consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And so consciousness pervades everything, but where you find it most concentrated, just like gravity pervades everything,
right,
but where you find it most concentrated is in the vicinity of these highly ordered, when you get highly ordered systems,
right,
that's where you find its most concrete expression. But it's actually everywhere. It only becomes visible or more...
Right. The way gravity is everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe it's something like that.
And that's our sneak peek at this week's bonus content with Dennis McKenna. You can find all sorts of cool bonus stuff from the archives by becoming a paying subscriber of Team Human at teamhuman.fm.